Today is January 28th. We're taping the history and development of the Haggadah. And I'm just introducing that what's called the Haggadah Shlema of Menachem Kasher. When he did his Torah Shlema, to perish the Torah, he does with the Haggadah, and what's most valuable for us is not so much his collection of Perushim. There are other works that have 20, 25, 30 Perushim certainly he collects what he feels the best of those Perushim on any given paragraph, but what he does in this is, and be valuable for us, is that on every single word he tells you the various sources and other older Haggadahs that have different words. Is it Holach Ma'anya? Is it Keholach Ma'anya? Is it... Right, I'm sure you're familiar with some of those in some of the Haggadahs you've been using over the years. Is it Shvoch HaMoscha El HaGoyim? Is it Shvoch HaMoscha Al HaGoyim? Those are two different psukim. One is in Tehillim, one is in Yirmiyahu. Some Haggadah prefers the Yirmiyahu Pasuk, some Haggadahs prefer the Tehillim Pasuk. And Kasher is Kedarko HaKodesh, is very good at telling you what the correct Girsa is, which Girsa they're using in the Sephardic world, which Girsa they're using in the Ashkenazic world. So that's the value. Now, in addition, he has some great introductory chapters, which I gave you here, which we're going to go through. But I want you to be familiar with the most important sources from which the Haggadah is built. All right, so I'm just going to write them on the board now. And these are mostly will be Mishnayos in the last parak in Pesachim. Mishnayos in Arba Pesachim. There'll be the Sifrei to Arabi Obey Ovi. Okay. That's number 10 on your front page. Okay, all it is just four psukim in Devarim with the exposition of the Sifrei. We get up to number 10, we'll ask, which was written first? The Haggadah, which the Sifrei took from? Or the Sifrei was original and the Haggadah took from the Sifrei. Right? Opinions appear on both. Okay. And we have... there's no order to this because this starts off the beginning of Maggid and it goes to the end of Maggid. So really, Yushalmi, Mechilta, to the four sons. Okay? You see what do you call Manishtam? What do you call that? These four questions, right? For Kashas, but the problem is that on the face of it, it does not look like four questions. It's one question with four answers. Right? So I'm just going to write it as the Manishtana. I'm not going to write the four questions. Okay, I believe in our Choveret, I think I just call it Manishtana. Right? Because on the face of it, it looks like the question is, how is this night different than, or maybe even why is this night different than all other nights? So you know what, my son, let me tell you. On other nights, this is what we, you want to know how? This is how this night is different. So there's four answers, it looks like. So we're going to have to figure out why. Maybe it's just a misnomer. Maybe someone just called it that and then they got it wrong. Or more likely, I think the way that the Mishnah wants to be read is... Manishtan alayla ze nikol halilos, that the shin that starts each line, right? How is this night different than all the nights? Shebachol halilos amoflem chametz matzah alayla ze. That's question one. Question two. Manishtan alayla ze nikol shebachol halilos amoflem chametz shari yakos alayla ze baror. In other words, the manishtan alayla ze nikol halilos is taking the shin takes the place of that question each time. Otherwise, we didn't need the shin. Okay, another crucial point that we're going to have to deal with is an entire book on this topic, because there's a lot of, if you look up in the dictionary, the word Paschal, P-A-S-C-H-A-L, what are you going to find? which has to do with the body of Jesus on the cross. Okay, Christianity did a lot to do with very interested in the formulation of this kind of stuff. Because you know, the Last Supper, the crucifixion, Good Friday, the day before Pesach, all this stuff is very big with that. Because in our Mishnah about the Man Shamas, it seems that there are three questions, not four. So we'll see. The questions are certainly not the same in our Haggadah as in the Mishnah. But that's going to be obvious as soon as we get into this, is because at the time of the Mishnah, what the boy saw at the table, the thing the child sees that's unusual, is different today than at the time of the Gemara, especially since they always ate the Suvim. Right? That's why you see this throughout the Sefer Brachos and the Sefer Perek, it's always, it says, you know, hey, say, who let hold, right? That's the way they always ate, every Shabbos, every day. So the kid sees them, and, you know, maybe reclining for more of the meal, but doesn't look unusual to him, right? Okay, what was more unusual to him was the sleep that they were eating. All right, and that, if you're all Ashkenazim, or you're sorry.
Very different opinions
with Ashkenazim and Sfaradim about what to eat and not to eat.
They don't eat roasted.
When I grew up, we didn't eat anything, any meal on the nights of the Seder that's not prepared at the top of the stove. Well, certainly, I mean, you wouldn't hold up a piece of chicken on the fire, but no, it had to be your food, except the shankbon on the Seder plate. But everything else is like a cooked goulash or a soup or something made in a pot with liquid on top of the stove. Nothing goes into the stove. That would be called broiled. No, that's too close to roasted. Roast chicken? No way. Not an Ashkenazi's house. So tzli is one of the questions in the Mishnah. But that's certainly not one of the questions in our Seder. Right? I don't even the Sfaradim are not only eating tzli.
We have those.
Okay. So I'm just calling this the Man Hashanah. Okay. Alright. And then this really should be the Mishnah. This includes Omar Rabbi Gamliel. Kol Shlo Omar Shlo Shemar Meilu Yod Kol Yotzer Yidid Chol Aso. We talked about that last class. That's a Mishnah, so including that. Right. The last thing is what we're starting with, which will help us, by the way, even possibly date the Haggadah. Right? Is a statement that really is almost an encompassing element of what the Seder is. It's this. Matchilin b'gnai. Sound familiar? U'mesayimin b'shvach. Okay, does that sound familiar, right? Matchilin v'gnai, we start off with something that we have to identify gnai. Shevach is easier to identify. Right? We have to end up with Shevach. But who's Gnai? Our own Gnai, right? Alright, so we start with a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Okay. Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel over how we perform, how we achieve Matzchilin B'Gnai and Messiah and B'Shvach. Right? I must tell you, in some versions of Maseches Pesachim, the Machlokas is not Rav and Shmuel, it's Rav and Abaye. Why? You see, when Rav and Abaye argue, you always paskin like Rav, right? When Rav and Shmuel argue, we always paskin like Rav, unless it's a monetary issue, in which case we should paskin like Shmuel. The problem in our Gemara is that we seem to paskin like Shmuel. So there's some say that the Nusach should be Rav and Abaye, where we can paskin like Rav. But here's the Rav. Here's the point. The Gemara has a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, which appears right. This is in our printed edition of Pesachim. It's Rav and Shmuel. Let's start reading the Mavot. Turn it upside down from your syllabus. See the word mavo? Jackie. Turn it around. Turn the whole thing up. No, turn the whole thing. יש אומרים שנוסח ההגדה שבידינו יוצא מידי אנשי כנסת הגדולה. So why would anyone say such a thing, that our Haggadah is from Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? Because there's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos that says that Tfilos, Havdolos, Kiddushos, Kiddush, Kaddish, whatever we Nuschaos that we say, what bracha should you make when you see a rainbow, what bracha did you make, well, how should we start Shemon Esrei, that all of those Nuschaos across the board stem from Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Which means that this text is very old. If that's the opinion, most Rishonim have this opinion, right? Then the Haggadah is the source of the Sifrei. What is the Sifrei? Right? Jack, you took me for intro?
Yeah.
Okay, put you on the spot. What is the Sifrei?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Every book of the Torah has mitzvahs in it, has a medrash halacha. Okay, the Shmot one is called the Mechilta. The Vayikra one is called Sifra, or also Torah Kohanim. And Bamidbar and Devarim together, since Bamidbar and Devarim have about the same amount of mitzvahs as Vayikra alone, it's called Sifrei. Sifra means the book, Sifrei means books. It's called books because it's on two books, Bamidbar and Devarim. Okay? While Bereishis Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Tanchuma are agadic midrashim, these three are halachic midrashim. Okay. You're probably familiar with some of the drashas in Perush Rashi. He quotes them freely. And when a Gemara wants to quote from these three, they will introduce the quote with the word Ditanya. If it quotes from a Mishnah, it says Ditznan. That you probably know. Alright, Tanya. It's a Braisa. And these sources are as authoritative as Rebbe's Mishnah. Right? If something in the Sifrei disagrees with a Mishnah, the Gemara will say, Reminhu. Unless you show it, it presents two different opinions of Tanoim. Right? And who do you go by?
There are certain rules, but here is an important point. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Vav. That says, Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Sifrei, Rabbi Shimon. Stam Tosefta, although during this semester we will be doing some Toseftas in Pesachim, which will help us out with some Inyanim in the Seder. Tosefta is Rabbi Nehemiah. Okay. Not so important for us right now, which it says at the end, Kule Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. These students all took their derech in writing these sources from Rabbi Akiva. What about this? Right? So the Mechilta the Gemara stays away from because, as you may know, there are two Mechiltas. Mechilta de Rav Shmi, I should say Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael, and Mechilta de Rav Shmi. There are two Mechiltas, Rabbi Yishmael and Rashbi. Rashbi is the same guy as this, who was the Talmud Mubak of Rabbi Akiva. Right? But this can serve a valuable comparison, because Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, although this is maybe too much of a digression for a Haggadah class, but it's crucial for a Tanakh class, a Parshamut class, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had or Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe, had very different approaches to how to read the biblical text. Okay? Remember this part, Jack? Rabbi Yishmael would read it from a more of a distance. He would allow for repetitions of words that just meant the same thing, like Rishma. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who squeezed every ounce of it, any extra word must have meant something.
So Rabbi Akiva was like Rashi.
He was like Rashi, yeah. And Rabbi Akiva was more liberal. There's many more drushes you can make with Rabbi Akiva than with Rabbi Yishmael. Sometimes it meant that they had a machlokas in practice. Sometimes it meant that Rabbi Yishmael had to learn that thing from something else. But But, okay, anyway, so all these Midrashei Halacha, right, represented the style opinions of these various Tanakhim. And by saying Kulei Aliva de Rabbi Akiva means that all the works that have come down to us to create Gemara, all this together, the comments of all these things, is called Gemara, right? It is mostly Rabbi Akiva's derech.
Now, which one is the Mishnah? What is the
submission? The Remeir. So the Sifrei, the Haggadah, has a whole section in the middle of it that is the Stam opinions of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll see if that makes a difference for anything. Okay, that would be four psukim in Parshas Kisavo that is expounded by the text. Alright, let's continue reading. Ulam. However, to say that all this comes from Machi Knesset Gedola is a real problem. From the Talmud Bavli, it's proved. That in the time of Rav and Shmuel, the nusach of the Haggadah had not yet been completed. Right? This also comes up in the intro class. The Tanakh, the Gemara says clearly, Achik Nesses and Gedola put their gishpanka, their plumba on the books of Tanakh. But Rav and Shmuel argue about whether Esther is canonical or not. In the 3rd century CE, they're still discussing whether Yechezkel is part of the Tanakh or not. Following? That should be 2nd century CE. But certainly, long after, there's no more Anshei Knesset Gedola. Shimon HaTzadik was the end of Anshei Knesset Gedola. So we see that the machlokas with respect to the canonicity of the books of Tanakh, we can apply that to the Haggadah, because Rav and Shmuel have a debate of how to achieve this. Wait a second. In light of that, you know the two opinions? Rav says, you say, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu. That sounds familiar? But talk about Lo Makam, right? Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu. And Shmuel says, it's Avodim Hayinu, Afar Avodah Zarah.
So I know I do Avodim Hayinu.
Yeah, but this comes later.
We have to start having Haggadah from us.
Yeah, we do this one first. The obvious question is, this one happens first. Why are we doing this one first and then going back to that? This one mentions Terach. This one is starting from Yosef and Yaakov.
Is the Machloket, which one do we say first, or is it?
That's a good question too. That's in your readings in the Malbim, the first
two. What is this Malbim? Which one do we say, period?
So, evidently, passing like Shmuel by starting, or he asks some questions. Okay, let me tell you about Maggid. Let me tell you the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We were once listened by my son. He says, "What we were, this is where we were." So, looks like, it was passing like Shmuel. That's one of the problems that the Malbim brings out. Why are we paskin like Shmuel? This is not monetary. We should paskin like Rav, right? And he also asks, does Shmuel disagree with Rav? Does he say we don't? Certainly doesn't say we shouldn't say it. But if they agree with what the other one says, is the whole disagreement which one comes first? Yes, I agree. We should say both. But I think this goes first, and I think that goes first. So these are all legitimate questions that we get up to. Again, part of the semester is we go through all of Maggid. All right, I'm just doing introductory stuff now. Okay, so that's the so. But what is Kasha trying to prove by this debate?
Right.
Anshei Knesset Gedola gave us something called the Haggadah. Would Rav and Shmuel have an argument over whether we should say Rifaninu or not?
No, but it's like God gives the Torah, but we still debate, you know, certain things about him.
No, but I don't see Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel may have an argument over whether you should make the bracha on the besamim first or the bracha on the or first. It's not Rav and Shmuel, it's based on Bishama, but they're not going to argue over accepted normative texts. Is the Haggadah a normative text in the Bayajik Neset Zidolim? It's not. If it is,
Torah is an accepted normative text also. But there are different interpretations of saying, you know what I mean? The Gemara is
Fair enough. So, but how can anyone say, in light of Rav and Shmuel, that their seders had different Haggadahs? Obviously. Right?
Okay. Yeah,
Rav and Abaye. So, how can anyone say that Ashik Nes is a Gadol? So, no, you're arguing for that opinion. I mean, they're not stupid. We're aware of this. Focus on ourselves. So they'll say, okay, I'm not going to quibble about those. Certainly,
Rav and Rav and Abaye,
okay.
But
Rav and Shmuel, what they're going to say is that each one, but the one who says that it's Ashik Nes is a Gadol, they'll say that each one agrees with the other. It's just a question of which one is prime. Which one is primacy. Okay, let's continue. Alright. Shekein Chokim Haim Shom. They disagree there. Okay, which letter are you reading?
Okay,
Yimatsu.
It's
below
there,
what is
our
Ayah Hussein?
Avudraham
is one of the guys that we're studying. You see at the bottom of the front page. Avudraham was a Spanish collector of minhagim, one of the finest of the Middle Ages. Okay. Wow. According to that, that's really that's a tough opinion. In other words, it's machlokes through and through. Each one said no, it's this to the exclusion of the other. Go ahead. I made reference to that about 10 minutes ago. Isn't that clear? I mean, come on. Some say Kehol Achmanu, some say Kehol Achmanu. Some others are phenomenally different than others. All right, you look at Nari Haggadah, it's going to look somewhat different than all right, these are not whole paragraphs that are different. Everybody has Dayenu. Not everyone has Haggadah, by the way. But everyone has certain things that are, right? One just comes to, a cute thing comes to mind. There's a lot of Torah on this. But you ever see in some Haggadahs, it says that if it's Motzei Shabbos, when you make this tefillah for the future, you should switch the order. Right? When you say min hazvochim umin hapsochim, right? Umin hapsochim umin hazvochim. It appears for the first time in the Vilna Gaon's Haggadah. So if the Gross said to change it, there's got to be some longish there. So something profound going on. What is it about Motzei Shabbos? So I'm just showing you is that in the 18th century people are fiddling around with the text. Let me tell you something. There's a cloud god on Shas. Brachos Taflam and Gimel. You don't fiddle with Nuschaos of Brachos. Once you start fiddling with Nuschaos of Brachos, then you're going to, you fiddle, someone else is going to fiddle. Keep Nuschaos similar. Now, wait a second. You go to Davna, Nuschach Sfar, Nuschach Ari, Shmon Esri looks very different. Right? Okay, that's just because of varied traditions, but so maybe this is not a varied tradition. This is the Vilna Gaon saying no, because of something that happens on Saturday night, we can't say that. It doesn't appear. Our Rashi didn't have that. So what gives someone the right to do that kind of thing? Right? Okay, so we'll see. We're in the next part of what we're doing this semester. If you're curious to know this particular answer, I'll just give it to you right away. This is Gemara Pesachim Lev Samach Vav. Quite an important Gemara in terms of the class before they made it from 4 credits to 3 credits to 2.5 credits. But the Gemara in Pesach and Daf Samach Vav asks if Korban Pesach is Docheh Shabbos or not. When Pesach falls on a Sunday, should we wait till after Shabbos is over to shech the Korban Pesach? Since we're going to eat it later that night, one should wait till after Shabbos. Why should we have to violate Shabbos? Shechting and do all the preparations of flayed skin and all those other things. So why should we be doing that on Shabbos when we could wait till after Shabbos? So it says that B'nai B'Seira, who were the heads of the Sanhedrin at the time, were not sure whether Korban Pesach is Docheh Shabbos or not. Right? That question appears in the Bavli Daf Samach Vav, Yushalmi, the 6th paragraph of Pesachim, and in the Tosef of Pesachim. I tell you all these three because all three stories are profoundly different one from the other. It's an amazing study in Tanaic literature in the ancient sources. It veers off phenomenally from that question. Here's what all three start off with. Someone says, I heard a man just made aliyah from Babel, and his name is Hillel. I heard that he studied with Shmaya and Avtalyum, and he probably knows the answer to this question. Already this sounds bizarre. Right? Pesach can only fall on one of 7 possible days of the week. Right? True, the way our calendar is set up, it sometimes can go 20 years without falling on a Sunday. Or it can go like what we're in the middle of now. 4 out of 6 years Pesach is going to fall on a Sunday. Alright? Depends on anomalies of the calendar. How many days are in Kislev, especially when you're judging the months by Re'iyah. Pesach can fall on a Sunday quite often. It's pretty inconvenient. You know, you have a Shabbos question in the middle of there, of course. But it happens. There are only 7 days Pesach can fall on. Right? How could it be that the heads of the Sanhedrin don't remember from the last time Pesach fell on a Sunday whether it's Docheh Shabbos or not? Right? So in these three sources, I'm going to tell you the Yerushalmi, in the scholar's opinion, is the one that's closest to what ultimately happened. But here's what goes on. They call Hillel in for an interview. And they say, Hillel, we heard you study with great scholars. What's the halacha? Should we bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos or not? And Hillel goes about to tell them, oh, of course, it's a Kal V'chomer. Can you figure out what's the Kal V'chomer? Of course, it's a Kal V'chomer that we should bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. What's the Kal V'chomer? He said, the Korban Pesach, if you don't bring it, carries a Chiyuv Kares. The Korban Tamid, if you don't bring it, there's no Chiyuv at all. There's no punishment at all for not bringing the Korban Tamid. You missed the Korban Tamid, right? Why are you more tell Korban Tamid? So if something that is does not have a Chiyuv Kares is Docheh Shabbos, surely something that has a Chiyuv Kares should be Docheh Shabbos. And then they heard him and said, Hillel.
You bring a Tamid on Shabbos? Is that part of the...
Halalasa Tamid, but he's gone every day. So they said, Hillel, I don't like your Kal V'chomer. Maybe it's Docheh Shabbos because it's a Korban Tzipor. How do you know a Korban Yachid is Docheh Shabbos? Maybe you should wait till after Shabbos. So then he said, okay, I'll prove to you that it's Docheh Shabbos from Gzeira Shabbos. Korban Tamid is Docheh Shabbos, and the word Moado appears with respect to Korban Tamid. And the word Moado appears with respect to Korban Pesach and Parshas Baal Ovzcha. Just like Moado here is Docheh Shabbos, so to Moado there is Docheh Shabbos. They said, we never heard this Gzeira Shabbos, we're not Makabal. So then he brought a Hekesh, and he kept on bringing drushes. Now, these sound like the Shloshes Midos of Rabbi Shmuel, but before the Shloshes Midos of Rabbi Shmuel, who was a colleague of Rabbi Kiva, it's about the year 100. Hillel, in the Hakdamah, this appears in the Hakdamah to this Rav. It says, Hillel darshan 7 midos shatar midrashes. And Hillel goes on to tell these B'nai B'Seira all kinds of drushes to prove his point about Korban Pesach being Docheh Shabbos, and they reject every one of them. And they're exasperated, and he said, can't you give us a proof that we'll accept? And he said, well, I will tell you this. I once asked this question to Shmaya and Avtalyum, and they told me that it's Docheh Shabbos. Without any drosha. They just told me, they know. I said, how do you know? Because of the Tzavach and Moshe Sinai. Then they said, you asked the question yourself, you heard it from Shmaya and Avtalyum's ears? Oh, they raised them up on their shoulders, and they carried them around town, and they said, from now on, Hillel is the head of our Sanhedrin, and the B'nai B'Seira stepped down. The story is so. I mean, these are the way stories are told. That you know, sort of, you know, you have to see the deeper meaning of the story. What were they asking him?
Can it possibly be that heads of Sanhedrin don't know that when Pesach falls on Sunday, you have to eat shalashuras in a certain way? You remember these things. In your lifetime, you probably remember Pesach falling on a Sunday. Right? So how did the heads of the Sanhedrin not know what to do with Pesach? How do I eat shalashuras today, Rabbi? I can't eat matzah because it's Erev Pesach. I can't eat challah because it's chametz. How do I fulfill shalashuras? A rabbi would say, I got to call up someone and find... Then you're going to start asking the rabbi questions. And these are the heads of the Sanhedrin. Right, so I'd like to submit to you that what they were asking Hillel that day was not a question, a practical question. They knew the answer to the question. But they saw that because of the oncoming Roman persecution, that the Torah is about to be forgotten. And if the answer to questions is just that we have a Masorah, that this is what we've been doing all this time, I think that's going to be forgotten. We have to get someone who is good at drash, midos shatorah nidreshes behind. Not that Hillel made up these, fabricated these midos. No, these were midos of exposition used by the Greeks. Right, the klal, the prat, the klal. And if you say this, it's exclusion of that. And that logic is not made up by the Talmud, I assure you. Right, it may have been elaborated on, and may have had. Things like that. But that's certainly more elaborate than the Greek argumentative style. But Hillel's application of that to the biblical text was heretofore not done. How do I know this? Because, hey, show me a Gemara of anyone doing that work before Hillel and Shammai. Right? Most of the people arguing in the Talmud are two or three generations later. So Hillel and Shammai argue on four topics in the whole Talmud. Hillel and Shammai. What happens when you start to determine your opinions based on drash? What's going to happen? Going to have different approaches. Some that want to read it more closely.
Right.
Some that want to say, no, that repetition doesn't teach this. That's deuteronomy. You're going to start to have different approaches. What's going to proliferate after Hillel and Shammai open up this derech? And then you're going to have not Hillel and Shammai, but Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. What's going to proliferate in Israel? Mara Beginning of Chagiga discusses this. This could have been catastrophic. But no, they turned it into a positive, known as a locus. They turned it into a positive. No, this could be, it's not pluralistic, but it means that Shiva Mamlets are. And they're all in derail or Kim Chayim. Chagiga Daf Gimel,
they're all right.
Yeah, they could be all right, yeah. Chagiga Daf Gimel discusses this. How come they have two Torahs in Israel? It's like, we have minority opinions, so we may have to pull out that opinion someday because of Shas Atchah, because of a new circumstance. This big Rashi of Ksuba stuff, Nun Hei, takes up the whole bottom of the page of the Gemara where Rashi explains why this is so important. Right? I know I'm digressing, but I want to use this to answer this question here. Okay? So Hillel is heretofore the Nasi. Because he shows an appreciation of the Masorah by sitting at the feet of Shmaya Naftali. He asks them questions. He remembers questions from them. So that means he has a connection to the Masorah. Shmaya Naftali were the fourth in line of the five Zugos. Right? The Zugos are the connection to Hashem Nesesavagola, which is the connection to the Nevi'im. Right? So he is connected to the Masorah, but he's also our bridge to Drash. And Drash will keep the Torah alive. Right? They can kill a man who has a direct Masorah. That's why the Gemara says there's no machlokis. That's the mission of Chagiga. Only machlokis is when you push down on the animal's head before shechting him on Yom Tov. That's it. But once you move from Masorah to Drash, there's why wasn't there machlokis? You have a Masorah to eat the Korban Pesach. This way you have the Masorah to eat the Korban Pesach. That way, no. Because the Masorah was very carefully guarded and kept in the hands of people who came to consensus. They didn't have machlokes. But when you have drash, there's
I don't have to have a consensus between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai about how they argue. This, if you really, once you get really into your chush, you will see that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, almost every machlokis of theirs in Shas is because of an approach they have towards how to read. It might depend on the issue. You think of Shimon. Of Shimon, to him, kavana is everything. Kavana determines what to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not your kavana, it's what you end up doing. So Rabbi Shimon will say that if an animal who's a bachor is sick, you can do akazas gam, bloodlet. You're making a mold, what are you doing? It's not my intention. I want to save this animal's life. If the animal dies, it certainly won't be given to a kohen. Yes, but you're making a problem. That's not my intention. So if Shimon says, do a kozes dog. Rabbi Yehuda says, let the animal die. Because to Rabbi Yehuda, it's your action that's more. That's all of Mesechta Shabbos. That's Dabar Shem Miskabin. If Rabbi Yehuda says, is Osir, and Rabbi Shimon says, is Mutter. It doesn't matter what your intention is. It matters what you end up doing. Again, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And you're going to see all over Shas that this affects how the market.
Bloodletting is not like
bloodletting. Yeah, okay, fine. But I'm just saying that you'll see, once you start to really get into this kind of stuff, you'll see that there's a shita. And all the shitos end up whittling down to this between Rabbi Shmuel and here is Rashi, but it's really Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva's approach seems to be more popular in the end by the students going in his direction. Okay, so let me tie this up. All right, so they made Hillel to be the head of the Sanhedrin, and he connected the Masorah to the Drash. We'll see that the Haggadah is filled with the Drash, and that's the main part, which is Arameo Velevi. As far as this goes, let me just answer this quick question here. Okay. Is that when Pesach falls on a weekday, right? Your meal was not the Korban Pesach. The last mission of Pesachim is Korban Pesach nochal al hasoba. Korban Pesach is eaten when you're full. Korban Pesach is dessert, afikom. Right? You don't have Korban Pesach, so you eat matzah instead. So why is Korban Pesach dessert? Why not make that your dinner? Because the Korban Pesach has a 4-week-old goat. It's how much meat is on that? Your dinner is a big side of beef. That's known as the Chagigas Yudalit. That's you came to Yerushalayim with your 8 closest relatives. You're not going to have 1-week, 4-week-old goat. It's not going to serve all those people. That's a little piece of kazayas for everyone at the end of the meal. Your meal was Chagigas Yudalit, which you shechted early in the day. Don't come into the Beis HaMikdash after 1 o'clock with your Chagiga. Why? Because 1 o'clock Erev Pesach is the busiest time of the entire year in the Beis HaMikdash. Don't bring a Chavdos that day. The Kohanim are going to slap you around if you do that. You understand what I'm saying? If you were a Mitzorah and today's your last day, you're a Nazir, bring that stuff early in the morning!
What if you committed a sin that day and you want to bring it back
up? Okay, if you... No, they wouldn't. They'd destroy the door. You can do this next week. Come home, yeah. Right? But dinner for tonight is a shlomim, right? Which you have to bring today, because otherwise it'll be nosa. So bring that stuff early in the morning. Right? But, alas, the Sechas Beitz and the Sechas Chagigah say that Chagigah is not Dor HaShas. Can't bring that if it's Shabbos. If it's left Shabbos to bring that. So the Chagigah that you're bringing for dinner during the week, that's what this is. So if it's Sunday through Friday, Min HaZvachim or Min HaPsachim, because then you want to bring those Zvachim early in the day. You can't, don't bring it 1 o'clock. They're going to say, what are you bringing your Chagigah now? What are you, crazy? The whole world is bringing Pesachim now. I'm going to take care of your Chagigah now. You had 10 o'clock in the morning to do that. You know Pesachim is only in the afternoon, right? So when it falls during the week, you say Min HaZvachim and HaPsachim. But when it falls on a Saturday night, you have to wait till after Shabbos to shechter them. That's But if you wanted to connect your 80 guests with something you have to bring anyway, which is the Chagiga, so bring your so but that has to wait till after Shabbos, because it's not Docha Shabbos. So I'm going to Moshe Shabbos, Minas Sochler, Minas. Get it? So some comes a very important person, the Vilna Gaon, and he says, my Lomdus is going to change a Nusuch of Barakot. So that's going to happen all over the place. But this, the fulfillment of a Brisa, Metzchil B'Gnayim, Simon B'Shvach, so we have different opinions. What does that mean between Rav and Shmuel? Okay, Avudram and Moshe Shabbos here. Alright, who am I to disagree with the Vilna Gaon? But I don't think that that's the purpose of this whole tefillah. Tefillah is a general tefillah that I'd like to come to Yerushalayim in the future and bring a todah and bring a shlamim and bring a bechor and bring a meiser and bring a chatas if I need, bring an osham if I need, you know what I'm saying, and bring an ola when I feel up to it, right? So that's what the zvachim is talking about. I wouldn't change the nusach. I'd say zvachim and nusachim always. Right? But I'm using this as an example for how, who has the, you know, who can have the chutzpah to take a set text and even change something as simple as an order. Are you familiar with a work that came out about 2, 3, 4 years ago? I think he's even a YU graduate. The book is called The Genius. Have you seen it? So, it's about the Vilna Gaon. And it's about his penchants to do this kind of thing. But it's the study is over such a small amount of his writings that it made a big splash because he wants to show that the Vilna Gaon just took liberties of changing nuschaos to fit what he thought was the prophecy. I mean, what he thought was the correct version. Usually, you should only change a text if you see a source that says you should do that. We sometimes have to do that with long accepted versions of Rashi, right? Okay, so I just use this as an example. We'll come across this again and again. Okay, all right. So on the first page, we just finish off by saying that if you see now, you see up underneath it gives it to Abaye and Rava, so that we can at least, according to the Avudraham, fit the halacha. Because if Avudraham says that Rav disagrees with what Shmuel says, and Shmuel disagrees with what Rav says, you're left with a big kasha. Why are we paskining like Shmuel, not like Rav? So he's changed his nusach, his Rav and Abaye, so we paskin like Rav. Okay. Right. Okay. So. So please finish reading this, just this one page in the back of it, all right? And then we're going to do Perek Sheni in class next time, which is Matchilin B'Gnayim Asayim B'Shvach. It says, right? Okay, chapter 2. Okay. All right. So our origins are like anything else, like Anshe Knesset Gadol. The question is, who made the additions? Who changed? Who could? What kind of disputes can there be about what gets in, what gets out? I want to read Kasher for chapter 2 and chapter 3 next time. And what I'm going to do next week is I'm going to bring you a chart of the four signs: Rishalmi, Chilta, Haggadah, and compare it to the Pesukim in the Torah. We're going to see an amazing pedagogical piece of work that Haggadah does. There's a lot of pedagogical material coming out all the time, but this is just something that is really beyond its time. And it's trying to enhance the learning capabilities of those who are on a higher level together with those who are on a lower level. That's the greatest challenge. Here, if I have 3 guys in the class and you're all pretty much on the same level, whether this is great, okay? When you have a class where some are already are getting it, some are not, some are daydreaming, some have trouble at home, some have it. And how are you getting to everybody at the same time? Is there any possibility to speak to the Chacham and that there's morality challenges and that the same words? Do we have to take each one of them, you know, and have private conversation? That's not practical. You have to teach kids, you know, a lot of kids. So, right, so we'll see what the Haggadah has to say about these things, and it's really some fascinating. Alright, so that's what we'll be doing next.